it's time to go out and...
Hey, baby. Of that nightclub at the end of the world. Mike Rupert. Today is June the 3rd, Sunday of 2012. Welcome to another show. We're going to need a shrink on this show, and thank heavens we have one standing by, but I'm going to warm up to that. I spent about 7 hours today working on this 2.5 acres where we have all this food growing. Permaculture is a wonderful thing, but I'm sore, I'm tired, it's wonderful. We have 5 apple trees, 2 pear trees, we have a peach tree, we have a walnut tree, and that's addition to all the crops. And I was out mowing and working today, and boy, that was good, because it's been kind of a week where if you were paying close attention to the news, it's kind of enough to freak you out there, because you kind of wonder what's going on. And I, for one, am tired of people of approaches to the collapse of human industrial civilization that are all from one spectrum or discipline, all left brain analysis, ones and zeros, and some are, you know, it's important to try to include everything. But there's some things that happen this week that are symptomatic, I think, and I think tell us that a great deal is wrong. And I think that Carolyn Baker, who's our guest, is going to agree. She has, a Jungian background, that there's a collective consciousness short circuit going on when we have somebody eating the face off of a live human being shot 7 times in Miami. When we have a martial artist in Great Britain take his trainer and rip the guy's heart out and eat his brains. When the same thing happened in Maryland also this week. Somebody ate the brain and heart of their roommate in Maryland. In Hackensack, New Jersey, I wonder if Stevie Van Zandt knows about this, a man cut open his bowels as he was a barricaded suspect, and as he disemboweled himself and he was throwing his intestines at police officers. I mean, you can't not notice this, and it gets worse. A school bus driver in Oregon was brutally attacked by some autistic boys on a school bus this week, and one can take the easy course of saying, oh, it's just zombies, or one could take a simplistic approach and say, well, it's this drug bath salts, and I used to be a narc, and now this sounds very strange to me. Bath salt is not LSD. I don't know where it came from, and I quite frankly find it unlikely that all of this could be blamed on a drug, because this stuff is happening all over the world. But, you know, layoffs are surging 60%, have surged 66% in May over last year. All around the world, earthquakes, fires, floods. There were 9 tornadoes on the East Coast today, and CollapseNet will have an amazing story on tomorrow's World News Desk about how vast regions in or near the Siberian Arctic are suddenly erupting into new large green boreal forests. It's what? That's good news. The good news is that more forests will eat more carbon dioxide, but the bad news is that trees don't eat methane, which is what's being released in massive quantities into the atmosphere, which has put us past, as guests like Guy McPherson have told us, has, you know, pushed us way past the turning point. There's just horrendous environmental news on top of the fact that the world is continuing to go to hell in a handbasket. Now, I don't want to try to oversimplify any of this, but there's a reason why people like I and so many others, Baker, our guest tonight, have been screaming for so long that without a spiritual, psychological, emotional approach to collapse, you were going to act like this. You know, the world was going to be, and you risk those kinds of breakdowns, maybe not the worst, but funny thing happened to me this week. After all of the years that I have been at this trying to warn people, a number of epiphanies apparently have stricken or struck many of the lights in our movement over the past month or so, and that's going to be a big topic tonight. But you have heard me say that unless you get your spiritual life together, your emotional life together, you're going to crack up. And I think, well, let me just tell you what happened to me this week. I learned something about myself, because I've carried a lot of anger in my life for the people that have you know, told me I was a kook, a crack, and all that stuff, and people would smash my computers and, you know, all of that stuff. But I also found myself carrying enormous frustration for the people that I called the zombies, and I lost any anger I have toward the people out there who don't have a clue as to what's happening this week, because I looked out at the world, and I looked at all the people who have been blissfully asleep, ignoring head in the sand, whatever, willfully and belligerently ignorant, and I have nothing but sympathy for them. I have nothing but compassion for them, because as this gets worse, they will be suffering psychological, emotional distress and cognitive dissonance far worse than any punishment my sick ego might have wanted to inflict upon them for not paying attention to all of us who tried to warn. I have nothing but compassion for the world out there tonight, especially the people who don't have a clue as to what's going on. So it was very important tonight to bring back our very, very good friend, one of my dearest friends, Carolyn Baker. She was a psychotherapist for 17 years. She taught psychology and history, but she's a very spiritual woman. She's written two amazing books, Sacred Demise, Walking the Spiritual Path of Industrial Civilization's Collapse. That's 2009 book, one of the best books on this subject I've ever read. And her newest book is also killer, Navigating the Coming Chaos, a handbook for inner transition, which has been out and it's doing pretty well. She's a busy woman. She's been traveling all over the place. She writes a regular weekly column for CollapseNet, which is doing really well in my absence, and I'm very happy to see that. They are kicking butt over there. But she's also a friend and someone I wanted to bring on so that we all could kind of talk to and kind of approach some of this insanity that's going on out in the world. And I must say that in the midst of all the insanity, I'm finding a lot of peace. Carolyn, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks, Mike. It's great to be back.
You've been a busy, busy person. You just finished the Age of Limits conference up in New England. I read Dmitry Orlov's piece, and he said, well, it was spiritual, but it wasn't in California where all those flaky New Agers live. I hope he wasn't talking about me. But we talked on the phone, and you said it was kind of an amazing new kind of experience. Well, tell us about the conference and what happened there.
Thank you. Yeah, it actually was in southeastern Pennsylvania. That's where it was. And interestingly, about a mile north of the Mason-Dixon line, and so there's a lot of history there. So we did have Dmitry, myself, John Michael Greer, Gail Tiberberg, who's written a great deal for the Oil Drum, and, of course, our dear Tom Whipple, who's written a great deal on peak oil for Energy Bulletin and other places. And I went with, you know, the stuff that I bring, which is the emotional and spiritual preparation. The whole conference was about collapse. There wasn't any dancing around that issue. It was straight up, we're going to deal with collapse. So there were probably close to 200 people there, and I would say the creme de la creme of people who've been researching and looking at this for a long time. And it was very interesting because I kind of thought, well, you know, everybody's here for Greer and Orlov and these other folks. They're not here to hear the spiritual stuff. I was blown away at the attendance at my workshops, the enthusiasm, and people coming up to me and saying, you know, I really appreciate all this research and all these facts and figures, but, you know, to tell you the truth, I don't want to see any more bell curves. I don't want to see any more hockey sticks.
Yes.
I really am hungry and thirsty and starving for the material that you're bringing. And I say that with great respect for the other presenters. I did my share of research in 2005 and 2006, and I published U.S. History Uncensored, which your high school textbook didn't tell you. So I did a lot of historical research about how we got here to this point.
You had some of my stuff in there, didn't you?
What?
I think you had some of my stuff in there.
I had plenty of your stuff in there, and you endorsed the back of the book. And, but I think there's some sort of sea change happening here. We've turned a corner on some level where people are really wanting to go deeper with this in the soul.
Yep. And it's, you know, it's just amazing to watch, and that's a theme what's going, about what's going on. We have some other things we want to touch on, because you and I had a talk this week. And, oh, we got to talk about that and that and that.
Right.
But let's try to take this now, and let's go back to face-eating cannibals, brain-eating, heart-eating,
right.
People
right.
who disemboweled themselves. Now, I know you have a Jungian influence in your study, and I'm very into a collective consciousness, a level of the species. But how do we begin to approach understanding this, other than saying it's not some new drug that's making people do this and walk about our business?
Well, you know, you did mention the collective unconscious in Jung, and, you know, before all hell broke loose in Europe in the 1930s, Jung was having dreams about a Holocaust and swastikas and a big shadow going across Europe, and so there was something very profound going on in the collective unconscious, and I think there is now as well. You know, we could write it off and say, well, these people are just crazy, but I think there's something happening on a very deep level regarding some human beings' responses to the turmoil that we're seeing. You know, the jobs report, what's going on in Europe, this point of no return that we've passed in the environment. I think that deep, on a very deep psychological, collective, unconscious level, some people are responding to that in just animalistic behavior. And then I say that and I think about, well, you know, animals don't do that to each other.
That's exactly right.
You know? So this is, and the word hunger keeps coming to me, you know? I noticed the hunger for spirituality at the conference, and I noticed these people eating each other. And I think of the popularity of the movie The Hunger Games, and I'm thinking symbolically and metaphorically right now, but there's a deep hunger going on, and I'm not sure exactly, you know, how to name it or describe it, but I think that's part of what's happening.
Well, I think, and this is some of my observation, you know, in last September I gave a speech in Portland, and I identified what for me is symbolically the great disconnect, which was man's alleged dominion over the planet.
Right.
Which was a fundamental disconnect, but it is psychotic. Just as psychotic as it is for an economist to assume that there are infinite resources and his graphs and charts are going to make everything fine. The disconnect between the third dimensional way of living, ruled by Cartesian logic, is growing greater and greater. It has gotten to the point now, and I think this pretty well sums it up. If you follow the rules, you will die.
Mm-hmm.
If you play the game the way CNN and politics and the IRS and everybody else tells you to play the game, you're going to lose your house, you're going to go hungry, more so you're going to go crazy.
Right.
And now comes the point where people are not aware of any other way to view things. And I kind of chuckled when I read Dimitri's article about this, because I love him to pieces, but he has never come near religion or spirituality in his life, and he confuses the two.
Mm-hmm.
Spirituality to him is religion, and mm-hmm. from my background and yours, we both know that religion is the old saying is that religion is for people who are afraid of going to hell, and spirituality is for people who've already been there.
Yes.
and you know, there is no allegiance to any church. It's like orienting yourself to electricity.
Right.
How do you do that to get the power that can change your life? Which
right.
raises a whole a whole nother set of questions here. We're going to be talking for, we need 2 hours tonight. But I hear this, and in a way I'm extremely grateful to see it, because it's a sign that let's use the analogy of an alcoholic, the guy is, we're hitting a bottom here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And in my next CollapseNet column, which was just posted over the weekend, I have a diagram that people can go and look at, which is kind of what I've done is I've talked about the stages of personal and societal collapse, and it looks very much like the process of bottoming out. it's more detailed than that, and I would encourage people to go to the column and read it. It's the very last thing in the article. But I see tremendous similarities between personal collapse and societal collapse.
And, you know, a lot of the people out there just have no options, no clue. They're at a level of consciousness where, you know, but I'm not saying that explains, but you know, we live in a pretty evil world, and the science of mind control and mind manipulation, I am an Orwellian reductionist, has been perfected.
Yes.
You know, where we have been programmed from birth. The only reason money exists is to control human beings, period. That's it. And we have been forged, hammered, pounded. You know, I just want to see Roger Waters doing the wall, you know. Into these shapes where if we try to live that way, we couldn't expect anything else but insanity.
Exactly. Right?
Okay. I think this is a good lead up for the song. We are in a nightclub at the end of the world. You know, we play a song every week. And this one is one I've been playing frequently. Diane Patterson's become a very good friend, and she's a brilliant singer-songwriter. And this song to me is a living meditation that alludes to a spiritual consciousness, perhaps something beyond what we see in a 3D world, to powers and events greater than us that we might not be aware of. But it stirs something in the heart. And I play this song every time I'm really upset. This is the first song I go to play. So I want to inject this song in here now with you on Carolyn. It's called High Sierra Morning from Diane Patterson. You can find her at dianepatterson.org, and she's just amazing. And it's called High Sierra Morning. And kind of everybody close your eyes and kind of listen to this, take it in, and see if it doesn't want to make you aware of something more than what you can see with your eyes.
We are honoring the first.
Sierra Morning by Diane Patterson from her CD World Awake. And in just about 2 weeks, she's going to grace my little farmhouse here. And she's going to be hanging out at a barbecue, and she's going to play that and probably a bunch of new ones. She's recording a new CD for us here. We're pleased to have her. Music can heal. And if you're out there listening tonight and you didn't feel that, go take a cold shower or something. See if you can feel your hand in the fire. But there was power in that. And so we look forward to that, and we salute and we celebrate what music can do for us. And a couple of music notes. Pretty soon I'm going to have another great friend, my dear friend Tammy Gosnell from up here, who is also a killer singer-songwriter. She was on American Idol, and she's just amazing. And we're going to be making an announcement, but looks like I'm going to be singing in front of 25,000 people in Florida in August. I'm just going to leave you teased with that until we get Tammy on. But music has power now, and that's why I'm so relieved that I am no longer doing the work that I did for so many years. Carolyn, you know that I wanted to get out of reading the news stories every day as far back as From the Wilderness, and but that was the role that I needed to play.
Right.
Spiritually, and I'm out of that now, and I am so relieved because I can live, eat, breathe, walk, and talk spirit, which coincidentally seems to be what everybody's hungry for, you know? How did we get here, Carolyn?
Oh, well, read my book, U.S. History Uncensored, and read Crossing the Rubicon. I think you can find out how we got here.
Yeah.
But this is where we are, and I just want to kind of go back to what I was talking about with these stages of collapse, because, you know...
Yeah, 4 minutes till break. Go ahead.
Okay. You know, we find out that the paradigm isn't working anymore, and then as a result of that, we make some poor choices, we go into massive denial, we become increasingly dysfunctional, and then maybe we have a tipping point event in our life or in our culture. Then we come to realize that things are never going to be the same again, and our coping or non-coping mechanisms begin to engage. And the outcomes are, on the one side, if we've been resisting all this, we're going to be reactive, and we're going to experience an unwanted ego death, terror, rage, competition, war, conquest, depression, giving up, blaming, increased addiction, total disintegration, death, suicide, and no interest in legacy for future generations. But if we've been open to this, we have an accepted ego death, we've been collapse aware before the tipping point, we've been staying informed, working on conscious, emotional, spiritual preparation, building community, getting mutual support on all levels, altering our lifestyles, and building the next culture.
You know, I've been on a spiritual path, you know, for a long time, 3 decades. and you know that I have. We've talked at great length about it. And I've had, arguably, as much or more time to prepare for this, if you will, spiritually and emotionally, as anybody out here around, you're almost anybody for all the years I've been doing this. But I have to tell you, that doesn't make it easy.
Absolutely not.
I broke down and cried, really, I mean, cried hard two or three times this week. Especially as I started to find the compassion for the zombies who have had no preparation at all for this.
Well, that's part of your preparation, actually. It's because you're doing the grieving that we all need to do. And wherever I go, I talk to people about we need to be grieving. We need to be grieving. There's going to be a yearly grieving ritual this November in San Francisco, which people can read about on my website as the time gets closer. But it's a whole day in which the whole entire day is devoted to people just grieving, and it's a very structured kind of thing, but with a lot of openness and permission for people to shed tears and really grieve about what's going on in the world.
I just want to remind the listeners that Carolyn's website is carolynbaker.net, C-A-R-O-L-Y-N, Baker. You can't spell Baker.
you're
toast. And you got to make jokes about this stuff, right?
You do.
We got about a minute before the break, and there's so many places I want to go after this. And I know a lot of you out there might have calls and questions tonight. We know one person called in. We will come back after the station break here in just a minute, and we will take your calls. If you want to send me a question to read to Carolyn or to me, you can send it to lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. Great website, collapsenet.com, and it's worth its money all the time. And we will get to those after the break. But there's a couple other threads I really want to touch on with this great guest that we have tonight. And basically, Carolyn, you also know, and I'm going to plant this thought before we go to break. You know, I spent 21 years in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I lived it. And the steps, the 12 steps, are what have kept me going all of these years, even though I left AA in 2004. And I think that's going to be probably the subject of my new book, because we have reached a point where human industrial civilization, this planet and all life on it, is beyond human aid. Think about that, and we will be back on the Lifeboat Hour here at PRN FM right after these messages.
I'm on my meltdown. 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 I'm on my meltdown.
I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown. I'm on my meltdown.
Yeah, that was Meltdown from New White Trash. I couldn't resist using that for a wraparound here. You can find that at newwhitetrash.com. 37 original songs in our double CD, double wide, and I got some news there, too. Dougie Lewis, my bandmate from New White Trash, has been out in Colorado, and he's moving up here with me onto my property. We're building a studio, and we're going to do another album. We're starting a new band, and we're going to call it The 100th Monkey. Why not? But, you know, this is a time where we choose carefully the things that we want to do, and what is very important now is to bring acts of love and music and meditation, healing things into this world. Right, Carolyn?
Absolutely.
You're damn right. Okay, there was something else we talked about this week. There was an amazing article in Zero Hedge, which, I mean, really pissed me off. I mean, I just read this, and I was... Psychologists questioning 9/11 is the sane thing to do. And this was an amazing article from a number of mental health professionals saying, you're an idiot if you don't question 9/11. My personal reaction to that was, well, yeah, that's what, I mean, people who talked about CIA dealing drugs, if you'd have listened to us, maybe if you'd have listened to people who talked about John Kennedy or Martin Luther King, Bobby Kennedy, maybe you'd have listened to people who talked about Iran-Contra or savings and loan, we wouldn't be in this mess. But Carolyn, you had some strong reactions to this article.
Well, actually, it included a YouTube video, and I watched the video, and several of those psychologists were from Boulder, Colorado, where I live. Yeah.
That's the hippies out there. You got to watch it.
Well, sometimes we get the same accusations as people in California do,
okay.
But we are our own people. You know, I think that we can expand this, you know, even though that video was made several years ago, I think we can expand this to what's going on right now. And I think part of the craziness that we see in these bizarre behaviors is people know they're not being told the truth. People know they're being lied to, not just about 9/11, but about all sorts of things. I mean, you know, you go on TV and somebody's saying, oh, we're recovering. Growth is happening. Oil prices are going down and everything's going to get better. And they're using words like after the crash, after the recession, as if, you know, something's going to be different. So all of this extreme, it's beyond cognitive dissonance. It's just downright crazy making.
It's a psychotic break that people have,
I think.
And really, isn't that what psychosis is, when you have just a complete break between what's in your head and reality in
yes.
the outside world?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, then okay, so what we are seeing then is a collective psychosis.
Yeah, and I've been writing about that on CollapseNet. You know, I've been writing articles about collapse psychosis, because I think that's happening, and I think that people,
yes.
you know, and then, you know, I hate to say it, but it's true. I think we ain't seen nothing yet in terms of when things really, really, really deteriorate far worse than they are now. I just really expect to see a lot of people going over the edge. Look at what's happening in Greece. Many, many more mentally ill people, virtually no money to treat them, and a plethora of suicides. There's not just one or two here and there. It's just almost like a national movement, suicide.
And that's why I and many others, you know, have been urging people for a long time, if you can't get out of major cities, big, you know,
right.
big cities, but also to build your local support network. I, you know, quite frankly, because I'm pretty aware about what's going on. I have no idea how I would not be in a corner sucking my thumb, drooling in a straitjacket, which you can't do in a straitjacket. But if it wasn't for the support network that I have built around me.
This is, yeah, absolutely, and this was the thing that was so refreshing and delightful at this conference, is that we were able to come together and talk about anything with each other, you know, anything with everyone, and, you know, we've got to have these support networks. We've got to be able to have places where we can talk about this and work together.
The number to call if you want to ask Carolyn a question is 1-888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. You can email in at lifeboathour@collapsenet.com. I remember I had the same AA sponsor for 21 years, Dale F., and I think I'm going to dedicate my my third book to him, because it's getting pretty clear that my third book has really got to be about applying the 12 steps to human problems, because basically the foundation of Alcoholics Anonymous came from a scientific point of view,
yes.
where every medical doctor, every psychiatrist who had ever lived throughout history had viewed alcoholics as hopeless, beyond human aid, destined to die or go insane, period. There was no exception until there were, and I believe it was Carl Jung himself, and it was, who said that there were certain exceptions, vital spiritual experiences, which suddenly revolutionized. I'm quoting the big book. I still got it. A person's thinking, the way he viewed the world, it changed everything. And Jung called these experiences phenomena, but what the 12 steps prove, and the 12 steps, you can find them in the exercises of St. Ignatius, you can find them in almost any mystical path. What they do is they change the consciousness, and as they change the consciousness, they provide access to what science, and this was from 1933-35 when they wrote the big book, confirms that they can't explain what happened, but it was practicing spiritual principles that allowed people who had been hopeless for 3, 4, 5,000 years to suddenly be able to recover. That's what this planet needs. And it's like plugging into electricity. I don't think we're going to have to be able to urge people to go out and do this, not in the old way, but what we're seeing, like I have seen many times in my life, maybe you've seen it too, a drunk being beaten into a state of reasonableness.
Absolutely. And I think that's a good description of what collapse is going to do to the human species.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it's happening now, because I'm also witnessing large scale awakenings, and I'm witnessing a lot of miracles too.
Yep.
And I'm really thinking, I think I'm going to devote the whole show next week just to the subject of spirituality and the 12 steps, because I think I'm going to have to write this book from that standpoint. And look at how my totally bizarre life has positioned me to be in a position to be qualified to write that book.
That's right.
And, you know, how in you and, you know, we cannot deny a wisdom that is greater than ours.
No, we can't.
And if there isn't a wisdom that's greater than human wisdom, we're screwed anyway.
That's right.
Look, this is the end result of the best we can do. So from a spiritual teacher's point of view, Carolyn, how do you prepare yourself to deal with people who lose it as bad? Well, you know, people who lose it as bad as eating faces, there's only one way to deal with that. You just release them from the third dimension. That's what I call it. And but how do we prepare ourselves to deal with people that are that freaked out?
I recommend people learning some type of process for dealing with their own trauma and the trauma of other people.
You cannot transmit something you don't have?
What?
You cannot transmit
That's
something
right.
you don't have?
Okay. Exactly. So we all have trauma, because to be born in industrial civilization is to have trauma. So we need to work on our own, and there are many, many places. I mean, you can go online and look at Trauma Research Institute, somatic experiencing, a number of techniques. We can take training in learning how to deal with trauma within ourselves, first of all, and then with other people. I think that's going to be very, very important, because the trauma level now is just escalating all the time. And, when, for example, large areas of the country lose power, or large, you know, for like weeks, and all large country areas of the country, don't have access to drinkable water, or we can't get food in the stores, we're going to be dealing with some incredibly freaked out people.
Mm-hmm. Not only that, but this is a good one liner that just came to me as I was listening to you, is that, you know, so much of what most people have done to prepare for collapse has been external preparation.
Yes.
And this is all internal, and I'm telling you, this is the most important preparation of all. And I would take this back to several books I've read on survival, and ones who survived in real threatening situations, is that the first thing that they have is an inner conviction awareness that they're going to survive, and they have a confidence in that. They have an anchor point inside.
Absolutely. And, you know, survival and that kind of training is by definition dealing with trauma. Because many of those techniques put people right on the edge of their own death, or at least feeling as if they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And they're very useful in that respect. I want to mention again three resources: Trauma Resource Institute, Trauma First Aid, and Somatic Experiencing. Those are three places you can go online to learn more about training in dealing with trauma.
And I have experienced SE, and it works, and it was very powerful in the human body stores trauma, whether it's physical trauma like a broken bone or something like that, or emotional trauma that's stored physically, and there are ways to release that. Of course, working out is, but these things are important. Because you can also try. What about the approach of just putting your hands over your ears and saying, I'm not going to pay attention to any of this stuff?
Well, that's going to lead you to that end result that I named there in that diagram of the stages of collapse. Terror, rage, competition, war, conquest, depression. Need I repeat?
No, exactly.
Yeah.
I just wanted to hammer that point in there again.
Yeah.
Because I don't know about you, but I am feeling a lot of compassion for people out there right now. And there's not the slightest bit of I told you so or why didn't you listen. It's just, shit, I wish we could have reached a few more. And we have all worked so hard on this. But as I go around, and make the connections in our circles, Peter, Joseph, the people I talk to, we've all had this epiphany. All at about the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Give it up. It's futile. Don't try to change anything. They've had all the warnings they're going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now sit back, and we're all getting, as they say in the military, new MOSs, military operational specialties. We're being reassigned.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of that, what's on your agenda? How are you evolving, and what are you up to in the future?
Well, right now I am working very hard on my next book, which will be two sections. The first section will be a collection of selected articles from my CollapseNet columns.
Good.
And the second section will be 365 spiritual reflections on collapse, where there's a quote from Perennial Wisdom at the top of the page, somebody like Rumi or somebody like Gandhi, and then my personal commentary on it and that page. So that's contemplative writing, so it's not going quickly. However, I anticipate being able to submit it for publication by the beginning of next year.
That's going to be very handy. I know that when I was very active in AA, they had a number of amazing texts and aids, but they had like daily readers that you could go to for a day or just turn to any one day. It's short, and it's just enough to give your brain a little tweak.
Yep.
And your spirit a little tweak, so that you're not as whatever you were before, fearful, whatever.
Right. And this will be entirely focused on collapse. So that's important.
I want to order one right now.
Okay. Also, I'm going to be leaving in about 5 weeks to go to southern Indiana, where there is a conference on transition, and it is going to be, it's not the transition movement, it is actually a group of radical Catholic nuns.
I love it.
And it's called Sharing the Wisdom, Shaping the Destiny, Sisters of the Earth Conference of Deep Transition in St. Mary's of the Woods, Indiana. And you can read about that on my website at carolynbaker.net. There's quite a bit going on with the patriarchy of the Vatican coming down hard on these radical nuns. And these radical nuns really know about collapse. They understand it. They get it. They're preparing for it. And, that's one thing I appreciated about Dimitri's workshop is he talked a lot in there about how various religious and spiritual communities have weathered these kinds of things before, and they're ready. And they are really good places to hook up with. So I'm going to be doing that, and then hopefully the rest of the summer writing, and I don't know what yet exactly in the fall.
I think we're all waiting for that because things are going to be changing real quickly then, and I think it's wise to leave our calendars open starting in
time.
The fall. Borders coming through.
You bet.
Dale, my sponsor, he had a great line once. He said, it's not what I don't know that gets me, it's what I don't know that I don't know.
Uh-huh.
And that's the key to opening consciousness, as Diane sang in the song, doorways open to other ways, other ways of seeing, viewing.
Yes.
But all of that is based not only upon what you read, but it's also based upon taking very specific actions in your life. And we have to go into the only way out is through, but the only way through is in.
Yes. Yeah, and this is one of the things that I keep saying all the time is you can have all the infinite growth you want on the inside,
And there are plenty of resources available to handle that.
There certainly are.
And there's plenty of aids. I want to share something with you personally. This just came up, Carolyn, but I want to share this with you on the air. You know that I'm deeply involved in Guyan and Native American spirituality, and I would say that that's the core of my spiritual orientation. And I'm an only child who moved 14 times through 7 states before I was 17, and I've had this big question my whole life, obviously, who am I? What's my name? Where do I belong? Where do I fit? And we know that in sacred spiritual traditions, the traditions of the ancestors, that a spirit name was given by a shaman. And what it did was it told you your place in the universe so that you no longer felt lost. And I've been praying and asking, and I have a very good shaman. His name is Travels with Bears. He's been a very amazing friend, and he's been just like right in plugged. And I asked him, and he's given me a name, and I have chosen to accept it after sitting with it for about a week and praying. I have been named Tracker of Truth.
I love it.
I accept the name. I accept the name.
Yeah.
And that's a powerful name, and I recognize that. And the obligation when you are given a spiritual name, of course, is to live up to it and honor it. But fortunately, most of that's in my rearview mirror. But that alone has just made me feel more secure.
Absolutely.
And there are so many things like this available to all of us. And that's why, for everybody out there listening, you know where this show is going now. I'm making a clear declaration. I'm going to have to tell PRN to take us out of politics and put us in spirituality or whatever. Because that's the only thing that's relevant now. It's the only thing that applies. Well, I'll speak for myself. This is the moment I've been waiting for. How about you? Isn't this what you've been waiting for, too? Because I know you have this in your heart.
Absolutely. And, you know, I don't want to do an either-or with this because we still have to integrate the, you know, the community building and the learning how to talk with each other and all the communication skills and the permaculture and all of these things and knowing how to grow food and all of these skills we have to integrate. So that I don't want to say that any one thing is more important than another, but I have been insisting, as you have been, that the spiritual has got to be as important as the permaculture, as important as learning how to grow food. And we're starting to see that happen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And, you know, I thought it was funny. At the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame ceremonies this year, they finally inducted Donovan into the Rock and Roll
Hall. Oh, I love Donovan.
And he had this song called Hurdy Gurdy Man.
Yeah.
And the line in there goes, "Down through all of eternity, the crying of humanity. 'Tis then when the hurdy-gurdy man comes singing songs of love." Broken up. But the dream that I have, the vision that I have with this now, after all this lifelong work in ones and zeros and footnotes, is that, yes, that's it. When the human race collectively cries out for help, for love, or for mercy, rather than justice, that collective cry is when miracles can and do happen. And you and I have both seen miracles in our lives, haven't we?
Well, I see them on a pretty regular basis, and I kind of think you do, too.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I appreciate them. And for me and I think for you, I think some really amazing stuff is going to be coming out of you over the next 6 months. I want a copy of that book already. You send me a draft. I'm going to write a review on it.
I absolutely will.
And I'll do the same with my book. So what the heck? They can accuse us of being a cartel.
I'm looking forward to endorsing your book. Absolutely.
But, you know, this has been such an amazing journey for both of us. Let me ask you, are you feeling relief from the frustrations you felt over the years trying to talk about this stuff?
Somewhat. I mean, there's still resistance. But mostly I see openings and people at least willing to talk about it, people at least willing to entertain it. And, you know, I think of our dear friend Dimitri, who I would never have expected him to have a workshop of that title. sustainable living as a religious observance. I would never have expected that from him, you know, say back in 2006 when we all had our wonderful conference in New York City. So, you know, when folks like that are willing to talk about this and, you know, it's the opening that you were talking about a while ago.
How many times have I, and I'm sure you've done this as a therapist, you're working with someone who's like hopelessly addicted to something, and they're just destroyed, and they can't stop, and you wait. You wait for that moment, and quite often it's a miracle, because there's no way to tell whose mind's going to open and whose isn't, but right. You wait for that point to say, for somebody to just say, I'll do anything.
Right.
I surrender.
Yes.
That's like, tattoo that. Everything starts with surrender. All of our human resources, as marshaled by the will, have failed miserably to prevent us as a species from creating, and we're doing a damn good job of it, hell on earth.
We certainly are. Yeah.
And the only thing that can save us, the only answer for that is that at the level of consciousness that our species has been operating at, there are no answers. And I think that there are some amazing changes happening, and I think before this year is out, Carolyn Baker, we are going to see miracles. We are going to see jaw-dropping, unbelievable events, both happy ones and sad ones.
Well, I would just like to leave folks with a couple of quotes. One is from Joan of Arc, who says, I'm not afraid, I was born to do this. And Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who says, my friends, do not lose heart, we were made for these times.
And I belong to a school, as I think you do too, that says there are many of us who chose to live these lifetimes to be here at this time, at this moment, and we probably elbowed a lot of people off a waiting list to get here.
Probably.
Yeah, so it is, you know, this is by no means over, everybody. This is by no means over.
It's just beginning.
And it's very dramatic. And it's freeing. And dragonflies say this could be a good time because, depending upon where your consciousness is, this could be. And fortunately, we can be assured that the best of human thinking, which tells us objectively that the human race and the planet are deceased or soon to be, we can look back at our human minds and say, well, there's stuff that we don't know.
Right.
There's stuff that we haven't allowed into our consciousness to try to approach the situation with. And with all other means having failed, let us try the spiritual approach. And then in doing that, let's not go to religion. Let's come back to that theme. Let's wind the show up on that. I want to be very clear. I think every religion's going to get turned inside out and date raped this year, every organized religion. Spirituality has to do only with the fact that there are things more powerful than us that we need to be aware of, and it's directly personal, and it is not put in a book. Our ancestors didn't have books. Our ancestors didn't have dogma. Our ancestors didn't have catechism. Our ancestors had direct access to what they call spirit, which guided them and enabled them to live a harmonious life in balance with this planet for many more thousands of years than conventional history tells us.
And that's because they were intimately connected with the Earth, and that's where they found spirit.
We all share this planet, and I believe this planet is alive, and even if you don't, you cannot ignore the fact that everything you eat, wear, drink, consume, drive, breathe comes from this planet. We're all stardust, and this is the only place we have, and we're trapped here, and now we face the consequences of our choices to live in a world of infinite growth, greed, and consumption, but there's hope. Carolyn Baker, damn, thank you so much for being on. You're going to be back soon. And in the meantime, just write, please.
I definitely will. Thanks, Mike.
I love you.
Love you, too.
All right, to everybody out there, it's Mike Rupert on the Lifeboat Hour from this nightclub at the end of the world where you never know what's going to happen next. We'll be back with you next week here at PRN.FM on the Lifeboat Hour. Good night.